Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 1. While you turn into that scripture, I just want to say how much that I am so thankful to be able to be here at this meeting. Not many times I get to come to a meeting and be through the whole meeting and have to be away. And of course, my thoughts are on the folks up at Shoal Creek right now and want to be praying for them that the Lord will bless them at home. And But it's just been a good place to be this weekend. And I'm very thankful to the church here and to all that you have done to accommodate us through this time. I know how much hard work it is to put on a meeting like this. And I just say from the bottom of my heart how much I appreciate all the labor of love that's been put into this meeting. And most of all, I want to thank the Lord for him being here, because it's been a spirit-filled meeting, and I'm very, very thankful. This is not my text, but this is what I want to say, that I felt this text last night. And read with me, Matthew 11 and 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Now, listen to this verse. If you got your scriptures, read it with me. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I felt it all through this weekend. If I preach right now, and I want to tell you this, I want to preach. I don't know if I can or not, but if I do, it's going to be a miracle. Just like seeing the dead raised, the lepers cleansed, he puts preaching of the gospel right in the middle of all of these miracles. And Brother Tim, that's the first time I'd heard Brother Tim preach last night. I'm thinking, and I mean this the way the Bible, I said, that's a miracle. That the Spirit of God could come into a man like that and him preach and make tears come down my eyes. And I want that miracle right now, because I want to preach. I don't like to go first. I don't like to start the meeting. I don't like to preach in the middle of the meeting. And sure don't like to preach it then. But as Brother J.R. Rake said, when the Lord blesses me, I sure do like to preach. And I got something I want to preach about. And y'all pray for me. I've witnessed miracles this weekend, because sinners have stood in this place and proclaimed the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to my text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I wasn't shaking till right now, so. Ugh. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I know that is talking to an older preacher to a younger preacher. But I don't have any younger preachers in my church, but I do have several young families And what I want to talk to you about this morning is generational planning. He's got four generations in mind right here. Paul says, from me to you, Timothy, is two generations. And he says, I want you to teach the next generation that they might teach the next generation. And I know within my lifetime, even under the ministry of my father, as well as it's been, this has been neglected, is generational planning. And I see it taught throughout God's word. Four generations of planning. That's what he's talking about right here. The things that you've heard of me, Timothy, I want you to commit those things to faithful men that they shall be able to teach others also. And in my church, and I tell you, I come in here when he's talking about this dear sister up in her mid-90s. And then I see young mothers here carrying babies within their womb. And then I see these young people that are courting. I tell you, this is it. And his Elder Crumley in North Alabama, he got up preaching one time and he was preaching on the doctrines of grace. And he didn't say it, he said hit. He said, this is hit. You don't have to look for it any further because this is hit. We've got it, folks. You've got it right here at Little Union. I want it at Shoal Creek. And I want it among the Primitive Baptists all over this nation and this world. But we need to be making some plans. We need to know how to make plans. And our plans need to be at least four generations in our planning. All right? Is this scriptural? One of the most devastating scriptures. Turn with me to Judges chapter 8. And y'all keep on praying for me. Judges chapter number 8, verse number 33. This is the end of Gideon. Everybody knows the story of Gideon. And I just want this one verse. Because this rocked my boat. Because I've seen this happen in my lifetime. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-peor their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God who had delivered them out of the hands of all the enemies on every side. I've seen that happen in my lifetime when a very able minister and a leader of a group of churches, soon as that one dies, they fall apart. And I'm thinking, and I appreciate so much everybody here asking about my mom and my daddy, because daddy wanted me to tell every one of you how much he loves y'all folks down here, but he's not able to go. But when I read that verse, I'm thinking, I don't want this to happen when my daddy dies. But if I don't do something, it could happen when my daddy dies. My daddy is passing the torch. That's scriptural to pass the torch. And I know who he's passing it to. But I hadn't done a really good job at trying to pass it to the next generation. Multi-generational planning. Should we make these plans? We've heard all weekend how that God has made plans. He's made plans for our eternal salvation even before the world began. We need to be making some plans. I look at you young people out there. Y'all need to be making plans. How How far ahead in your plans do you need to be making? 4 generations. Now, I want that to sink in. 4 generations. I'll give you scripture for it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Because one thing that my daddy taught me, he says, if you can't prove it with scripture, don't try to teach it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 5. Behold, I taught you statutes and judgments. Moses, more than likely to Joshua and Caleb. That's 2 generations, Moses to Joshua, Caleb. 1, 2. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that we should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Now look at verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy sight, depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy son's son. 4 generations. 4 generations. Let me give you another one. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse number 3. Well, let's start verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of thy mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know, we in North Georgia has never had a problem with the doctrine of absolute predestination of all things. But we've always watched out for it, because we was knew it was there. And some parts around Atlanta back when I was coming up, had it was very devastating to some of our associations that and all of them that did preach the predestination of all things are dead now. So we've always kind of had that wall up over there that, well, we're not going to be absoluters. But you know what we've done? We've practiced it. Because we've always said, well, if the Lord wants our children in our churches, he'll put them there. We've been practicing absolutism and trying to fight against it. But we've been practicing it because we hadn't had 4 generational planning. I'll give you 3 texts. I'm going to give you one more that's 5 generational planning. Joel chapter number 1. Got 5 generations. Turn over there to Joel chapter number 1. Brother Buddy gave me this one when he preached up at Dallas just a few weeks ago. Thank you, Brother Buddy. Thank the Lord. He gave me this one. I've been looking at 4 generations. I got 5 now. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear ye, O men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That's five. I have failed in this because all of my children are about grown, still some in my house, but I hadn't done this that well. I hadn't done it as well as the Bible teaches that I should have done it. And I've been trying to repent and begging God for repentance. Because he says that we need to be teaching our children that they can teach their children and that their children can teach the next generation. That's how important this is. That we would know where we come from. We could stand to know these things and how much that we can look on these things. Even a scripture over here in the second chapter, verse number 15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. You know, right where your children are right now is where they ought to be, sitting in the pews. That's where the children. Y'all folks at Little Union, y'all have done this about as good as anybody I know. But you've got children, and we need to pass this on. And you got to teach it to your children and tell your children that they need to teach it to their children, that they can pass it to the next generation. Because we don't want this generation to quit as it did in my life. When I joined the church back when I was 8 years old, that year that I joined over there, they was probably 12 to 16, 18 young people, teenagers or younger, and there's only just a few of us in the church now. Because there wasn't any generational planning. We just plan for what's going on right now, like I do. Right now. I want to be able to come back here in 20 years. I hope I'm still around 20 years. I want to be able to come back here in 20 years because every time I come to Little Union Church, I told Brother Garland this morning, I said, I remember the first time I laid eyes on you folks. Third weekend in August, Boiling Springs Primitive Baptist Church in North Fulton County, there was two vans pulled up that we didn't know who they were, and doors open, and there was folks come out of these two vans, and there was Cunninghams and Barnums and Bobos. And there was more young people than there were older folks there. And all us young folks thinking, we like this. Now I've seen all of you. I know how old you are because we're about the same age. Now here you've got children. And you've got grandchildren. And I want to come back and see your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren at Little Union Primitive Baptist Church. But you got to make plans. The Bible says so. Gather the people together. Congregate. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. And those that suck the breast. I think that covers just about all age groups. I know, see, we fought that. Well, we're not going to segregate our children. All those other orders, they do that. I think we've done a pretty good job. But I don't know if we've been looking far enough ahead. Ezra, chapter number 8. Y'all see right now, I ain't going to get all the way where I want to go with this, but I'm going to wait in a minute. Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahab, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him the right way for us and for the little ones and for our substance. Fathers and mothers, teach your children. Well, what am I supposed to teach my children? I hadn't done that well at it. We need to teach our children how to think. Because if we don't teach them how to think, somebody else is going to teach them how. Not what to think, how to think. And teach our children how to make plans. Turn over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, and I'm not going to take the time to read all this. I'd love to read the first 14 verses. But mainly the first 11 verses you've been told all weekend. Write it down, go home, read it, and study it. That's your homework. Jeremiah 29, 1 through 11. They were in 70 years of desolation. Just had started. Nebuchadnezzar had came in and taken over. God had allowed it to happen because of the 70 years that he told them, if you don't keep my Sabbaths, I'm going to take them. I'm so glad you folks are here on this Lord's Day. I tell everybody at home, you know, keeping the Lord's Day, which is our Sabbath, we need to keep it. You know, because in that day, they had Sabbath days, Sabbath weeks, and Sabbath years, and they didn't do them. And you know what? God said, I'm going to take that. And he took 70 years. And they were right in the beginning of it. Nebuchadnezzar had already taken. You read all of this, the words of the prophet, to Jerusalem, to the residue of the elders that were carried away captive, and to the priests and the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, verse number 5 says, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters. Now they're right in the middle of captivity. They're not going nowhere for 70 years. And he says, I want you to make plans. While you're here, I want you to make plans. I want you to build houses, live in them. I want you to take ye wives and have children, just like you would. Keep on doing it. Take ye wives for your sons. Now, this is not a popular around the Cagle household. And I ain't done too well with that. I know I failed in this part of it, but I wanna help my children, but they don't really want that kind of help. But I got scripture for it. Parents, you need to help your children. And young people, ask your parents. If you've got a nice boyfriend or a nice girlfriend, yeah, of course, mom and daddy's already got them all figured out. As soon as they walk in. You know, the first thing I do when a boy walks in with my girl, you know, the first thing I do, I look at their shoes. Now, all you young people from Bethany have already heard this, so y'all, but y'all will have to hear it again. I look at their shoes. Because you show me a boy that takes care of his shoes and polishes his shoes, he'll take care of other things. Observation. You can ask Betsy right back there. She brought one boy in. He had nastiest shoes, had mud all over him. I tell him, he ain't worth keeping. She didn't keep him long. And the one she's got now, he was taking a job interview, and I told him, I know he didn't like it too well, but I said, you better make sure your shoes are polished. He says, I got these nice sweats. I said, they look good. They did. They were new. People make those observations. First impression. When you young people bring somebody into your household, your parents are going to have a first impression. And you ought to too. Oh, y'all pray for me. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters. My hands are freezing right now. Take ye wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not be diminished. That's what my hope is for the Primitive Baptist Church at Shoal Creek, Canton, Georgia. And everywhere I go, that we be not diminished, but we'll increase more and more. And our number one growth, we sat around that tent yesterday and talked about all kind of growth. But you know what? We need to be growing from within. The church that I'm at right now, when my daddy started there 56 years ago, that was a church that called for his ordination. There was one family there that had 12, 13 kids. And my daddy will tell you right now, he says, if I could have saved that family. And my daddy says it just like that. And you know what he's talking about. He says, if I could have saved that family, we had already built a new building. But my daddy didn't have generational planning. He didn't have that. But right in the middle of captivity, do all these things. Seek peace of the city, whither I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and in causing you to return to this place. But until that time, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Go through Nehemiah and Ezra. And it, you know, they already got through this 70 years. We need to be making 70-year plans. If we start right now making 70-year plans, there ain't many of us going to be here in 70 years. They just a few folks going to be here in 70 years. A few of them right there. I see a few of them. I see these mamas carrying these babies in their womb. They'll be here. Are we making the right kind of plans for them? You young people, when you're looking for a spouse, are you thinking about your children? The Bible says you need to be thinking about your children. I hadn't done a good job at this, okay? The decisions you make today will affect you 70 years from now. The decisions we make in our churches today will affect us 70 years from now. How are we planning for the generations to come? And I'm not going to turn over there, but Genesis 1:28. God had created everything that was created except man and woman. He comes to the day and he says that he had created man. And he says to man, I want you to be fruitful. Punctuation marks in the Bible are important. There's a comma. Listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Please. The Bible says, and it was one of the very first commandments, he says, I want you to be fruitful, comma, multiply. Be fruitful first before you start multiplying. Elder Dolph Painter preached this, and I tell you, it rocked my boat. You need to be making plans. You young men, there's a bunch of good-looking young men here today. You young men, you need to be making plans that when you have families, that you're going to be the sustainer of that family. Why? For your children. First off, your wife, your children, that you might teach your children, that they might teach the next generation. You young ladies, you need to be making plans. Fruitful, comma, multiply. You need to be looking for a man that's going to take care of you and your family. Now, I guess somebody said he's going to quit preaching and start meddling, but y'all pray for me. I'm begging God for repentance. I hadn't done this well. But my wife, my daughter's back there. Y'all ain't hearing it for the first time, okay? Children of God need to marry in the Lord. Marry in the Lord. And we need to have a long-term perspective in this. Long-term. I've heard grandparents come crying to me saying, well, I brought my children to church all the time. Me too. I got my brothers. I got three brothers. And they just don't come to church no more. We haven't been looking far enough, folks. We've got to look to the next generation. Long-term perspective. Because what's the best for the next 70 years? We need to teach our young people to marry in the Lord. And that young men are going to be sustainers. They're going to be fruitful. And prove your fruitfulness before you start multiplying. You young people, when you're making plans, I tell every young couple that I talk to, and they always want to come to me and say, well, we want to get married. Will you help us plan our wedding? You know what I tell them? I said, no, I'll help you plan your marriage. Wedding's over with in 15 minutes. But young people today, they'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars and hours planning a wedding and hadn't did a bit of planning on their marriage. I've got the best marriage planner in the world laying before me because it's inspired. And it gives you a long-term perspective. You know what else you need to talk about, young people? How you going to discipline your children? Because if one says, well, yeah, we're going to spank our children. The other one says, no, you're not going to spank our children. You think that's going to be a problem? See, it's not a problem right now. Why? Because you hadn't multiplied yet. But when you do, guess what's going to be a problem? How you discipline your children. Coming to church on Sunday. And I know that, and I'm quitting with this. I'm going to quit with this. And I've heard it, you know, about marrying in the Lord. Why should we marry in the Lord? Well, it's going to take care of a lot of problems if you do. And I've had young people say, well, you know, we didn't marry in the Lord. You know, I married somebody and, you know, converted them and did all of that. And you know, they always pick those out in the church. And they'll say, well, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, look at them, man. They're just, but I tell you, for everyone that you can find that is good, I'll point out eight that are not. I hope all you folks here know that I love you folks. But when I seen this, it is just totally, as I said, just rocked my boat. Because I want to see the truth being proclaimed in 70 years. I want to see it at Lithia, Florida. I want to see it in Canton, Georgia. But I sure have seen a lot of churches closing up their doors. In the last 10, 15 years, because there was no generational planning. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.